Amen, amen. God is good. And if we can't be happy here, well, I don't know if everybody's going to be happy over there. If we can't be happy here with the family of God, amen. Well, there's several people pointing to the ushers in the back. I don't know. Let's take an offering tonight. Ushers, would you come? Amen. Hey, it's all right to have a smile on your face when you come to the house of the Lord. Amen. It ought to make us happy to see one another, be a part of the family of God. Amen. Let's pray and ask God to bless this offering tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless it, multiply it for your kingdom, Lord. Don't let it return void. God, we thank you for your blessings, and we want to bless your kingdom tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you give, and we're going to turn to the word of the Lord. So, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1, praise the Lord. Amen. I've already taught one class tonight. I did the intro for our Next Steps class downstairs, and then we're here. So we've got a group downstairs. We've got youth going on tonight, kids going on tonight. Lots happening around here at Harvest. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. We're going to continue our lessons on self-leadership, 7 strategies to be your best. And tonight, strategy number 3 is taking spiritual authority. Taking spiritual authority. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So good to see everybody here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. So in the first lesson, we looked at discovering our purpose because we are all made for more. Say, I am made for more. Amen. Regardless of where we are in life, we all have the God-given potential to be something more than what we currently are. And we all have room to grow. We all have room to be better. Secondly, we looked at accepting responsibility. Accepting responsibility. Popularized by President Harry Truman, we've all heard the phrase, the buck stops here. The buck stops here. What does that mean? Well, no excuses are going to be made. That it means we're going to take direct responsibility instead of passing the blame on to someone else. And how valuable for this generation to get that message, that we are responsible for our own growth, we're responsible for our lives, or the lack of growth in our life. And let's not waste time coming up with millions of excuses possible, putting the blame on others, but instead we should put the responsibility right where it should be, on our shoulders. Amen. We are responsible. The buck stops here with me. If we're going to become our best, if we're going to be our best, we have to accept responsibility. And victim mentality is one of the greatest threats in our world today. When someone believes that they don't have any power to determine their future because of their circumstances, their surroundings, what's been done to them by others, the side of town that they were born in, things that are beyond their control. When people believe they're simply a victim of their circumstances and nothing they can do will rise above, well, they're actually right, because their belief will not allow them to rise above those things. But it doesn't have to be so. Amen. We have the power and the responsibility to choose our attitude in life, our actions. We can't always choose what happens to us, but we can control how we respond to it. So if we're going to be the best that God's called us to be, then we must take responsibility. Does anybody remember the rule of 5 that we talked about? The rule of 5. We talked about that And hopefully you're making the rule of five a regular part of your life. There's five things that we should do, each of us do every day, if we're going to follow the rule of five, and it can be different things for different people. Habits, things that we work into a daily part of our life. You choose your own five things. It could be Bible reading and prayer time and physical exercise. It could be journaling or writing or encouraging someone or reflecting on how the day went or whatever it is. But choose five things and establish them as daily habits and write them down and then start doing them. And then watch that produce positive fruit in your life. Now, we're going to go on to the third strategy for becoming all that we can be, taking spiritual authority. Taking spiritual authority. He was only about 12 years old. So he was too young to follow his brothers into the army. Not that his job wasn't important. After all, somebody had to tend the farm. Somebody had to produce supplies for the army, which was away facing the Philistines. Yet this 12-year-old boy, he longed for more. He had vision, he had skill, and he had courage. And so when his father Jesse loaded David up with supplies and sent him off to the front lines to check on his brothers, David was only too ready to go. Goliath, the giant of Gath, was the champion of the Philistine army. He stood over 9 feet tall and possessed amazing strength. The tip of his spear, it weighed the same as a bowling ball. Can you imagine that? When he was outfitted in his full heavy armor, he was a fearsome sight to see. Each day, Goliath stepped out from the Philistine camp and he challenged the Israelites. He said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." All the Israelite soldiers, including David's older brothers and even the king, they cowered in fear. And by the time David arrived, this standoff had been going on for more than 40 days. David, in simple faith, he demanded, why was no one willing to go and face this giant? His brother scoffed at him, this young boy. He didn't know anything about fighting a war. Finally, David took his offer to the king, and we read in 1 Samuel 17:32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." What a story. He was a mere boy, armed with only a slingshot and five smooth stones, and going out to face a battle-seasoned giant arrayed in full armor. Goliath didn't think it was very funny. He said, "Am I a dog that you've come against me with staves? Come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls out of the air and to the beast of the field." And then in 1 Samuel 17:45, we read one of the most courageous speeches in the whole Bible. "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Praise the Lord. And with that, the two charged one another, and David reached into his bag, and he pulled out one of those smooth stones. He put it into a slingshot and whirled it around and let it go, and that stone hit the mighty giant Goliath right in the forehead, driving deep into his skull. And he stopped in his tracks, and he fell face down on the ground. Can you see it? Can you imagine it? David ran to him and took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. Seeing their champion defeated, the Philistines fled in terror, and the Israelites pursued them and won a great victory that day. What a story of faith. Even those in the world that don't know much about the church, they understand David and Goliath. It symbolizes the classic underdog where a smaller hero defeats a larger opponent. And there we see the secret to David's victory and to our success in reaching our full potential. Because with God, the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, but victory goes to those who trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord. It doesn't matter what we're facing. It doesn't make a difference how bad things look. And no matter how small we might be compared to our circumstances, victory goes to those who trust in the Lord. No matter what the enemy has stolen from you, I want to tell you there's one thing he cannot steal, your trust in the Lord. Through every situation, in the face of every battle, against every enemy, you keep on trusting Jesus. You keep standing on His Word. You keep following Him. For the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but victory goes to those who trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. You cling to that promise. You stand by faith. What gave David, the younger, the smaller, the weaker, the less experienced fighter, what gave David the ability to prevail? It was spiritual authority. David came to the battle not armed with superior weapons or strength, but with the power that only comes from being called by God. And when he faced Goliath in simple faith that day, he had spiritual authority because he was acting under God's divine authority. What gave Peter, a simple fisherman who often stuck his foot in his mouth? What gave Peter the ability to preach so eloquently on the day of Pentecost, ushering 3,000 souls into the new church? It was spiritual authority. What gave Stephen the ability to preach in the midst of his accusers and even God asked God to forgive those who were stoning him? It was spiritual authority. How was Paul able to face kings and magistrates and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ? It was because of spiritual authority. And spiritual authority is needed if we're going to overcome the giants in our lives. I want to tell you, we may not face actual giants like Goliath, but there are things that stand in our way. There are obstacles we have to go through. There's things that will keep us from reaching our full potential in Jesus Christ. And we've got to have spiritual authority if we're going to overcome. You might be facing a mountain of debt tonight. And that's the giant in your life, calling out to you every time a new bill comes in the mail. It could be a situation in your marriage. It could be something from your past. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Maybe you need to overcome addiction. These things can seem like impossibilities, giants. And when we look at the problem, we think, oh, it's so big and I'm so small and there's no way that I can overcome this. But I want to tell you, we have the greatest power in all the world available to us. I want to tell you, the power of the Holy Ghost can overcome anything. It's the power of God Almighty working in us, moving in us. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. We have been empowered to have a transformed life and to reach our full potential. If you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Spirit, then we've been called into the Lord's army. We've been sent forth with power. We've been given spiritual authority. Amen. Too many people fail to reach their full potential because they don't believe they can. They think the problems are too big and they need more training and more resources and more motivation, or they're looking for the secret key to move forward in life. But here's some good news. God has already placed all of that within your grasp. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, He gives it to guide, to enable us, to strengthen us. And we have the spiritual authority we need to move forward. We just have to recognize it and put it to work. So we're going to look at five levels of spiritual authority tonight so that we can understand more about how spiritual authority operates and how we can apply it in our lives. The first level of spiritual authority is calling. Calling. At this level, spiritual authority comes from God's call upon our life. That means that God has spoken to us. He's called us to salvation. He's called us to a purpose in life. And this level is a must. We cannot have spiritual authority without first having a call from God. Does God speak to us? Of course He does. Sometimes we just have to be sure we're hearing what He's saying. There's a lot of noise. Sometimes you got to get away from the noise, and you got to quieten your spirit, and you got to listen to the voice of the Lord. And God has always spoken directly to His people, beginning with Adam and continuing on through today. We may receive the call differently. You may not receive it just like your neighbor does, and it may take some time to recognize the call of God, but God speaks to our lives. He calls us. The prophet Samuel heard the call of God when he was just a boy. At first, he didn't understand what it was. He thought it was the old priest Eli calling out to him. Eventually, Eli told him, he said, he recognized what was going on. He said, when you hear that again, you need to respond and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And when Samuel did that, he started a long journey throughout his life, a journey with the Lord as a prophet, a priest, the one who anointed kings. When we hear the voice of God, it may not be an audible voice like when Samuel heard it. It may be through a vision. It might be through a dream. It might be through a powerful move of the Holy Ghost in a service. It may be with a still, small voice, the voice of God speaking to our spirit. But however the call comes, we need to respond just like Samuel and say, "Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord, speak, because I'm listening, and I'll do whatever you call me to do." Praise the Lord. It may take time to really understand the voice of God and really recognize it, but you keep following after God's Spirit. God doesn't call us without giving us a purpose, a mission, something to do. There's a lot of people, they come up with their own purpose, something that they want to do, and they say, "Well, God called me to it." We better make sure it was God that called us. God's purpose is not based on something in our will, not something in our ambition, but it's based on the will of God for our lives. And when we hear the calling of God, and when we receive that mission or that purpose, God gives us the spiritual authority to do what we've been called to do. God's not going to call you to it and then leave you hanging out there without the authority to accomplish it. But God will give you the authority to do what He's called you to do. Often God will call us to do things that we like to do, things that we find satisfaction in, things that work well with our personality. Amen. Have you received that mission that God has called you to? Have you responded to that call? And sometimes we feel inadequate. We think, "God, what you've called me to do, it's so much greater than what I'm able to do." But God will, He will give you the ability, He will give you the authority and the strength. Our calling is the basis of spiritual authority in our life. And when we've been called by God, we have divine permission, we have divine authority to act. I can remember talking with a missionary who, he travels frequently conducting Holy Ghost crusades around the world, and often he'll go to cities and countries where there are no churches and places that are just very bound spiritually. And I asked him, you know, about that experience. What is it like in the spirits that they come in contact with and the spiritual battle that they face? And he kind of shrugged and he said, "Well, it's what I've been called to do. And so when I arrive in those cities in these far countries," he said, I believe that since I have been called to do that by God, that when I arrive, I am the highest spiritual authority in that town or in that city because I've been called by God for that work, and He is going to back me up. And they have revival, and they have breakthroughs, and spiritual things happen because he knew his calling. He's called to that purpose, and God gives him the ability and backs him up with authority. I want to tell you what, if we're going to face battles like that spiritually, we better make sure we have the authority behind us. I don't want to be like the sons of Sceva that thought they had authority in themselves and tried to cast out a devil and found out they had no authority. But I want to tell you what, when you're standing on the Word of God and you're standing on the call of God, it doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter how bad and big that principality is. If God has called you, He will give you the authority to face it. Praise the Lord. Come on. There is a calling of God that goes forth, whatever it might be in my life and in your life, and we need to answer that call. And don't be intimidated by darkness. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Don't be intimidated by Satan's lies against you. But you stand on God's calling and realize if He called you, then He's going to give you the authority that you need. And whatever principality, whatever kingdom of darkness, whatever spirit that you are facing, God has given you authority over. Praise the Lord. I feel this tonight. Somebody's facing some things and you kind of wonder, well, am I able to fight this? No, not in your own strength. But you start praying and you start reading the Scripture and you start standing upon the Word of God and you face that thing with faith and know that God is behind you. You're not facing that thing alone, but you're facing that thing through the power and the authority that God has placed in your life. Amen. He's not going to call you to do something and then not give you the power to do it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so this calling is the basis of spiritual authority in our life. Amen. We've got to recognize that calling. We've got to hear that calling. And that's the first level of spiritual authority is calling. The second level of spiritual authority is character. Everybody say character. Spiritual authority is strengthened through good character. This is where our life begins to match our calling. To have spiritual authority, our inner life and our outer life must be the same. Our words and our actions must match. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." When our character grows to match our calling, our spiritual authority also grows. When our character fails to match our calling, our spiritual authority is weakened. Former U.S. Senator Alan K. Simpson put it like this in a great quote. He said, "If you have integrity, nothing else matters. If you don't have integrity, nothing else matters." Isn't that the truth? Jesus pointed out the character issues of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." He went on in verse 25, he said, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." They wanted to claim spiritual authority, but they lacked the character to go with it. What they said and what they did didn't match up. What they directed others to do and what they did themselves were two different things. But Jesus didn't put up with that then, and he's not going to put up with it now. If our character doesn't match our calling, then we will see our spiritual authority weakened. I'm preaching to a great group of leaders here at Harvest. Amen. I want to tell you, your calling is absolutely astounding. Amen. The calling that God has placed upon this church and upon your lives, and the mission that He has for you to do, the work that He's called this church to do. It's unbelievable the trust that God has placed upon us to reach this city, to do a great work for Him in this city and surrounding area. But you hear me today, if we truly want to have the spiritual authority to do what we've been called to do, then our character has to match our calling. As leaders, we have to go above and beyond. And when we're a leader, we don't just do the bare minimum that's required. When we're a leader, we don't just do a little bit in order to get by, but we go the extra mile. We're willing to set the example for others. We show up early and we stay late and we give first and we lead by example. What we say and who we are, it matches up. If character is going to strengthen our spiritual authority, we've got to be who we say we are. So the second level of spiritual authority is character. Character. Moving on to level three, commitment. Commitment. Our spiritual authority depends on our full commitment to God and His calling in our lives. After we've made the lifestyle changes necessary to bring our character in line with our calling, then we must fully commit to our purpose in Jesus Christ. We have to commit, no matter the obstacles, no matter how tough the going gets. We've got to stay committed. Everybody wants to wear the crown, but are we willing to drink from the cup? Everybody wants the reward, but are we willing to pay the price? Are we willing to share in the suffering of Jesus Christ so that we can share in His glory? If we can't stay committed during tough times, then we will lose spiritual authority. But when we rise up and when we break through obstacles, our spiritual authority will be strengthened. Come on, think about it with me. There is a spiritual authority that only comes when someone has been tried and tested. I don't know about you, but I'm not looking to follow somebody who's never been through a battle. Don't give me advice. If you've never had to overcome anything, if you've never known what it's like to battle spirits of hell, and if you've never had to just stand because you tried everything else and then all you could do was just somehow stand and trust God. If you've never been there, then we really don't need your advice on how to fight a spiritual battle. But there is authority that comes when somebody makes it through the struggle. Come on, there is spiritual authority that only comes when someone is tested and tried. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a reason why God let us go through what we went through way back there somewhere. Because the only way to get the spiritual authority that we needed was to go through some things and to determine that we're going to be committed no matter what. God knew what you were going to face in the future. And so way back there somewhere, He let you go through some stuff to prepare you for the mission that was ahead. Hallelujah. How about the next time a trial comes along, instead of crying out, "Why me, Lord?" Why don't we say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for having enough trust in me, for letting me to learn how to stay committed through the trial so that I can gain spiritual authority in order to face whatever it is that your mission has for me." Come on, I don't know everything that God has in store for you and for your future, but I want to tell you, He's designed some good things for your life. And some of you here tonight, you've been facing some battles. You've been going through some storms. There's been some testing and some trials. And so God must have a mighty great future planned for you. But through those things, God's letting you gain spiritual authority because you've stayed committed and you said, "I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on trusting in God. I'm going to keep on being faithful to church. I'm going to break through those obstacles. I'm going to see victory ahead." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. When we become committed, we gain spiritual authority that we can't receive in any other way. Hallelujah. And sooner or later, our commitment is going to be tested. If we lack commitment, if we're trying to keep one foot in the church and still have one foot in the world, if we're trying to pursue God's calling and still chase our own agenda, it will affect our spiritual authority. James said in James 1 and 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Without commitment, we can't reach our full potential. Let's stay committed. Don't be double-minded, but keep focused on God's will for your life. Joshua stood there before the Israelites, and he declared in Joshua 24 and 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me, he said, and as for my house, we will serve the Lord. Because he was willing to be committed, because he was willing to put both feet in, he had the spiritual authority to lead. And I want to tell you, when our commitment, when it matches up that calling that God has placed on our life, we can overcome any enemy, we can endure any trial, and as we keep the faith, God is going to let your spiritual authority grow stronger and stronger. It all depends on commitment. The fourth level of spiritual authority is consistency. Consistency. There's a lot of examples of inconsistency. The Bible's full of them. One negative example of consistency, King Saul. He's probably one of the weakest leaders in the Bible. Even though he'd been anointed king and even though he had spiritual authority, he was not able to stay consistent, couldn't control his emotions. The Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and the evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And God removed him as king and replaced him with David. Because he was never able to be consistent, Saul lost spiritual authority. But look at the prophet Daniel. Oh, what an example of consistency. Daniel had great spiritual authority. He lived when the Jewish people were exiled in Babylon, and he was a great leader. He was promoted by King Darius, and even the threat of being fed to lions, it did not deter Daniel's prayer. It did not stop his worship. He stayed consistent regardless of the circumstance, and Daniel stands to this day as a great example of spiritual authority. Consistency. We have to take authority over our mind, over our heart, over our emotions. Did you know feelings will lie to us? Feelings will lie to you all day long. The circumstances of life are always changing, but we can't allow the constantly shifting circumstance to affect our commitment. We shouldn't be in a different mood every time we come to church. I know things happen during the day, but we ought to be able to come into the house of the Lord confident that God is going to move and God is going to work and God's going to bless regardless of how we feel. Amen. If we're going to be consistent, we have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 and 4 that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God, help us to walk after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If we're walking in the flesh, that means our life is going to be a total roller coaster. Up, down, sideways, you just never know. Influenced by the circumstances around us, reacting out of emotion, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. How does that sound? I'd rather have life and peace. Hallelujah. When we learn to walk in the Spirit, we don't operate by feelings, but we operate by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And when we do that, we learn to stay consistent, and our spiritual authority will grow. Our calling plus our character plus commitment leads us to consistency. Praise the Lord. And that brings us to the fifth and final level of spiritual authority, conviction. Conviction. Spiritual authority resonates from a heart of conviction. If we passionately believe that what we're doing is God's purpose in life, and if we're following the calling of God with everything within us, and we believe it with all of our hearts, then I tell you, we will be powerful in the kingdom of God. On the other hand, if we constantly are doubting and fearing about God's calling, we'll lack the spiritual authority. It just goes along. There has to be conviction. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, but without faith, we've got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When we have that kind of conviction and when we have that kind of faith, we'll have a great spiritual authority and anything is possible. Hebrews 11 tells of these heroes of faith. Reading in Hebrews 11:32, and what more, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samson and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They had great spiritual authority because they had great conviction. They had great faith. And nothing was impossible for them. And I want to tell you, nothing will be impossible for us when we reach that level of conviction, when we reach that level of faith. Praise the Lord. We're on a journey to reach our full potential, to become the more that God has called us to be. I want to tell you, the fact is we have everything already that we need to reach our potential. You have a calling from God. You have the gifts that He's placed inside of you. There is a purpose. There is a mission that God has for you. We have spiritual authority to do what God's called us to do. And this is the time to trust God like we never have before, to give Him our very best. It's time to rise up and take authority that God has given us to be all that He's called us to be. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Praise the Lord. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a centurion who came to the Lord asking for healing for his servant. And Jesus told him, I'll come and heal him. Reading in Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Reading on in verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. If we want to have spiritual authority, then we have to understand what it means, just like the centurion understood. To have authority, we must be under authority. Where do we get our spiritual authority from? From God, who has all power and all authority. And he shares some of that with us. Praise the Lord. Our authority is only as good as somebody, as the one who backs us up. And if we're going to operate out of our own authority, we're going to come up very short. We're going to come up lacking. But if we're operating on the authority that God has given us, I want to tell you, his power is unlimited. He is able to do absolutely anything. There is nothing that is impossible unto him. And God has an order to things. God has an order to things. So there are some who never get this. They wonder, why don't I have spiritual authority? Why do we struggle? Why is it that others seem to be so blessed and God's opening up doors and putting opportunities before them? Many times, it's because those people lack spiritual authority because they're not under authority. Some people, they always have an issue with everything. Always having problems with those over them, their teachers, the parents, the boss, the pastor, the policeman, the judge. They always have a problem with the authorities in their life. I tell you, those people will never have authority themselves, because to be in authority, we've got to be under authority. Let's be in our place. Let's be in our calling. Let's be submitted to God and the authorities that he's placed in our life so that we can have spiritual authority to do the things he's calling us to do. Our calling plus the building of character plus our commitment, even through trials, will lead us to consistency, and that will build our conviction. And along this journey from calling to character to commitment to consistency and to conviction, along that journey of growth, our spiritual authority will be strengthened. When I think of what God's calling this church to do, it's overwhelming. And we realize how small we are compared to the great task that God has placed before us. But then, to think that he has trusted us this much to do this great work, we need spiritual authority from God to do it. I don't know about you, but I don't like trials. I don't like to go through tests. I don't like to fight spiritual battles. My flesh does not like it at all. But it's through those things that when we stay consistent and we keep believing in God, and it's through those times that we gain spiritual authority and we're able to do the great things that God has for us. Praise the Lord. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight, you'd realize, I've been going through some of these things. It's not things I like. It's not things I want to have to experience. But God, if I have to go through it, then help me to learn this lesson and help me to gain the authority that you're wanting to place in my life. Praise the Lord. I wonder if you'd take the hand or put your arm around somebody or just connect with somebody if it's appropriate right now and pray for them and let them pray for you. God, I pray that you'll bless us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to gain the spiritual authority that you have for us. I pray that you'd help us to grow through these trials. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be strengthened through this test. I pray, God, that you would give us the ability to stay consistent, to stay faithful. God, I pray that you'd help our character. Help our character, Lord. Help who we are. Let it match up with what we say, God. Help us to be tried and true, and Lord, to come out clean, Lord, to come out pure before you. I pray, Lord, that you would minister, that you would work. Give us the ability and the strength that we need, Lord, to accomplish what you've called us to do. Help us to realize the calling that you've given us. Help us to hear your voice, Lord, to be sensitive to your power and your presence. I pray, Lord, that you would move through us somehow. God, help us to do a great work for you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor, the praise, Jesus. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless my brother. Bless my sister, Lord. Help them, Lord, through this trial. Help them through this test. God, give them strength. Give them faith, Lord. Help them to be consistent, I pray, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. We love you, God. We praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank